You're listening to Real Conversations with Jacob Young. Real Conversations is sponsored by Boys Town, saving children, healing families for over 100 years. They're literally changing young lives every single day. Please go to boystown.org to find out how you can help support Boys Town. And while you're there, check out their site. Be sure to check out, when you're on the site, check out all their parenting tips that they offer. They got tons of parenting tips on there. RCJY is also sponsored by Lane Frost Brand, made for the champion in you. They have amazing hats, hoodies, and so much more, something for the whole family. Go to lanefrost.com. Be sure to use Jacob15. You'll save 15% on anything and everything Lane Frost Brand. My guest this week made television history as the first male model on the game show The Price is Right. As an actor, he made his mark on another long-running daytime classic, Days of Our Lives, playing both Ben Weston and Alex Kyriakis. Probably said that wrong. I would like to say, come on down to this week's guest, Robert Scott Wilson. You know what time it is. It's time to keep it real with Real Conversations with Jacob Young. Rob, what's up, man?
You're up. It's go time. dude, that was the best intro ever. Thank you. Yeah, just got back from a little bit of work and hanging out at the house now and figured to chop it up a little bit.
Yeah, man. Well, we met each other last week, and I feel like I've gotten to know just about everybody in daytime over the 25 plus years that I did there. But, you know, it's always nice to finally meet somebody that or hang out at least to get to know better. And it was a great event, man. We had some fun down there in Florida.
That was so fun. Exactly. It was a great day. Great day.
And we were talking about how you're from Boston. Now, tell me what that was like. How was that growing up?
I mean, it was great. You know, I lived in a town outside of the city and, you know, grew up in it was a great town, but it was, it really shaped me in one way or another. You know, I made some great relationships, great friends, and I kind of bounced around afterwards from a couple different towns, but, was there my whole life and then moved to New York when I was about, I was 19. Then moved back to Boston for a short amount of time and, moved out to Los Angeles in 2010. So it's been 12 years now.
So how did the career start? Was it like, did you do modeling first or was that sort of
a little bit. Yeah. I had this, I had some representation in Boston. And you know, it's a very small pool, right? So, I had no interest in it really. I'd always loved acting and I loved film and I was always inspired by that, but it wasn't really something that I sunk my teeth into until, it kind of found me in one way or another. And, yeah, I had some representation for print and, commercial and stuff like that, but there was a big tax incentive happening in Massachusetts back then. And there was this huge push of production going there. And my agent that represented me in town, had me go to this really big open call type situation. They wanted these featured background guys,
Yeah, they're like, if you get this one, you could like be making, like,
oh yeah,
you're going to get like 6 days on this set.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
that was and big, was
like,
right?
Oh, it was huge. I was like, fantastic. You know, I had no idea about anything. The union pay and the non-union pay, you know, I didn't know about any of that. So I was excited for anyway, I was getting all these union vouchers and it was one thing after another. So it worked out. I went to these things and I booked it. And then the very next week I ended up booking one very similar, this movie called Bride Wars, in which I got thrown into my first scene ever with Anne Hathaway. So I had this like wild little improv scene with Anne Hathaway.
Yeah. I was going to say, take us there. What was that like?
Dude, well, I had already been doing some like featured stuff, but this featured stuff was really life changing. And they flew me to Los Angeles to get life casted, for this movie called The Surrogates. This was 2008. Mm-hmm. And, I already started falling in love with the process before we even started filming it. I just liked everything from pre-production and getting behind the scenes of everything and seeing how this, you know, this craft was created and everybody involved. And, I really got to explore every side of this industry to a degree, not, I have a lot more to do, but, the beginning stages, I feel like I hit every bump and it was all there for a reason. It kind of fed me this, but, long story short, was there. Life casted out here, got these crazy prosthetics and stuff for this film, worked a bunch out in Boston. And it was really fun. You know, I remain friends with some of the people I met on there today that either are in LA or back in Boston that are still somewhat, you know, in the industry and whatnot. And then the next week they called me about Bride Wars. I was a very similar situation as the last time. Big old casting office, all walks of life. There was no like breakdown for it, but they had this pool of what they needed. And when they reached out to me again, this agency was like, "Rob, you got that one too, and you might have lines alongside the lead actress." And I was like, "What is happening right now?
Dear Lord, lines?"
I was like, "Dude, I was like lines." I was like, "What do you mean? Okay, all right. Well, tell me what I got to do." You know, and it's just funny to think back on this stage of my life. But then, you know, I go to set that day. I'm all nervous as can be. I was supposed to be playing Carlos, her spring break fling. Ooh. And it was just an improv scene. So there were a couple lines that she had to hit, and I just had a banter with her back and forth.
Yeah.
So it ended up getting me, you know, my SAG eligibility from that one day.
Nice.
And I kind of blacked out after that, and I was like, okay, I want to work with this. We got some heat going. And
yeah, it's like once you get a taste of it.
Oh, dude. Yeah. You know, get bit by the acting bug, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Whatever. Or we're just all crazy.
It's I mean, your whole life, we're told that that's unachievable. That's not something that necessarily happens to everybody. You know, your parents are looking out for you. Your friends are looking out for you. You tell them you have some crazy dream and they go, but you still have to hunker down and go after it, man. It's
absolutely.
But absolutely. And there's no surprise to me. You know, I mean, you're a good looking guy. You're talented. You got the whole package. So it makes sense, man.
I'm trying to hang on, brother.
Yeah.
Trying to hang on.
Aren't we all?
I'll take whatever I can get. You know, we'll be all right. But thank you, brother. I appreciate that. And it's been an amazing journey. You know, there's been a lot of to the bottom of that pool and touching it. But, you know, you got to know what it's like to get down there sometimes in that deep water. And then, you know, you can kind of enjoy the ride a little bit more when you know you always get back on your feet, you know, because it was very difficult. And I look back, you know, and I've been very blessed. So
you have been blessed, man. I mean, we usually on this show, we talk about women breaking glass ceilings to make history in jobs traditionally performed by men, you know.
Sure.
But what was it like to be the first man to ever become a Price is Right model? I mean, that show, like, I still watch the old Bob Barker reruns. Like, I'm enough for Price is Right. Always have been. I was lucky enough to actually say a new car. They brought me on because I was over at Bold and the Beautiful, you know, working over
there. Of course, you're right next door, man.
Hey, man, they're like,
you had it going on right next door.
They just like come.
So we might have been neighbors during that period of time.
I thought I heard something in my dressing room. In the wall between.
It was me. It was me. Things got a little crazy.
You were like pumping pumping up for the role out there.
Exactly. Oh yeah, for sure. I did something like that. I still do that. That was a great experience. Totally out of left field. Nothing on my radar or seeked out to be, but I really credit that whole experience as like really opened the door to me in daytime, because as soon as I did get it off the bat, they knew I was an actor. And they may not have seen me in a bunch of things unless they, you know, caught a couple co-stars, little guest stars, things like that. But they knew I was working in one way or another. And I got it, man. And I didn't expect to at all. It wasn't like, you know, I was really pining for it until it got down to, you know, there was like three of us and America had to vote. And then I was like, all right, I can't lose. Like, you guys rally. I needed New England behind me bad.
Yeah, yeah. Thank God there's a high concentration of people up that way.
There's a high concentration up there, man. We look small on the map, but it's deep.
Yeah, it is.
It was great, man. It changed my life in one way or another. And to this day, there was still no amount of PR I've ever received, no matter what's going on in the show or anything else. Like the stuff we did when I did Price is Right. They were really good to me. CBS Daytime, they're really, really good people.
They are good people over there. Yeah. So like, say I'm, you know, 19-year-old, 20, 22-year-old, mid-20s, and I'm like, I'm going up for like the Price is Right model guy. What advice would you give to that guy that's going into that slot?
Well, dude, it's funny you say that. You know, when I firmly left, when I started Days, it's crazy, like almost 9 years ago, you know, I had to cut ties with doing another daytime show. And of course, being, you know, wanting to act so bad, of course, I was quick to do it because I was doing All My Children before. And when this came in, it kind of picked up where I left off. And when I left, where was I going? Oh, I had to do the judging along with a few other people for the next male model in line. And they asked me to come in and give my two cents to these guys.
Oh, they did that.
And yeah, we did it. We did a 5 webisodes.
Okay.
Their run to be the next, you know, male model. And, you know, I was very honest with them. I was like, guys, I had to get the bloodiest. I had to see what happened and what worked and what didn't. How stupid was I going to look? Could I make this look half okay? But I'll tell you what not to do. And we kind of went over it. But yeah, we can't do any of the things the girls do. We don't do any of that. Right. So I had a very small repertoire of moves as a Price is Right model. But man, they work.
Yeah.
Bottom. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
you got to be really comfortable
with all the fancy stuff.
You got to be comfortable with your body, though, like, you know, in a situation like that. I mean, and you are, because you go on his Instagram, guys, you know, it's, you know, he's got a beautiful body, so you should show off your body. It's beautiful. Man. I mean, and
I'll dude, do it while you I take, can. You take, like I said, I'm hanging on.
Yeah, you take care of yourself, man. It's no lie. It's no joke. Yeah, you definitely have to be comfortable, I would imagine, with your body, you know, being shirtless or, you know, like, and then showing product.
Yeah. I mean, I did, you know, I've done a bunch of the shirtless jobs and this and that, the pool boy featured stuff on random, you know, all that stuff for so many years. I was like, it's not that I'm not comfortable wearing some swim trunks, but you're doing it in front of a live studio audience with 3 cameras and Drew Carey, you know, it feels a little different.
Yeah.
But it opened me up and I realized right away what that show was about. And it's just, it's a snapshot of America and they're so happy to be there. And it's a slice of American pie. And I feel like nobody doesn't like The Price is Right.
Yeah, it's the best,
you know? So I was so grateful, man. It was a fun little run at the beginning. And like I said, nothing, I planned and I just showed up where I was told to be, went through the process like everybody else. And then I wanted it, you know, and it kind of changed my course for a couple of years, which, ultimately I think got me in the eyes of, all my children, which got me started in daytime, you know, soaps. So,
you know, I know you've had a great ride, man. You kind of like, it kind of feels like mine, you know, like, you know, I finally walked away from daytime after, you know, I started when I was 17.
You were telling me that in Florida, man. That's wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
I mean, I was just a kid, man, when I first started, but You know, you have ambitions, right? To, you know, we all have ambitions to like want to go after that next job, get out there, you know, stretch your stuff. You know, you got these idols that you look up to in TV and film, and you know that you could be that person. And sometimes, you know, as you know, there's a lot of ups and downs in this industry, and you know, a lot of emotional. Even if you're not going through up and downs, and you're making money and you're doing well, it's still an emotional ride because
without a doubt,
you feel like you're always being restrained.
Yeah. There's always some type of, exactly that type of feeling. I mean, the highs are high, the low are low, but, those things, you know, you kind of have to just experience them and how bad do you kind of want it, but it certainly is a roller coaster sometimes. And even when you do have it, you're thinking about the next job. You know, so it's like, we got to just slow it down. I'm really grateful and I'm trying to just appreciate more so than be grateful. I'm trying to appreciate what I'm doing, to stay sharp on what I'm doing because I've been, you know, we've had some runs in daytime and luckily I got this new character and it really breathed, like gave me a lot of fresh air.
Yeah.
Which was great. Not that I wasn't loving what I was doing before, but like, it's nice to have another option in our own home field. It's great.
Yeah.
Because like you said, everybody wants to do other things and, that's certainly on my agenda, you know, but for the time being, them writing for me the way they are, I feel like it's, I don't feel like I'm holding back right now. So yeah. I think it's really good that they've been so good to me and we've had this great run and, you know, the success of like Alex right away. It was another like weird little first for me, you know, having to turn around to somebody new after them watching a character for 8 years was like, this is going to have some words attached to it, you know, but everybody's been so cool. It's been great.
We'll talk about appreciation. Guys are notoriously bad about communicating their feelings and when they're faced with problems or feeling depressed. How are you when it comes to being open with your emotions?
You know, I'm lucky enough where I have a core group of friends, man, that are really dialed in when it comes to, you know, just valuing friendship and relationship and communicating and much more than a lot of the guys I grew up with, you know? So it's nice. And I think none of these guys that I'm friends with now really had that initially, but we've all developed that through the years. And, I got some great people to be able to talk to and share life with the goods. Hopefully it's more the goods, but you know, when the bads come in, it's nice to have that core group of people that you can kind of bounce that off and relate and just fucking, you know, chop it up a little bit.
Yeah, totally. You know, you gotta have that. You gotta have that, man. Yeah. We're humans. It's like, yeah, man. You know, I have always have my people to bounce things off of if it's not going right, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I got great parents. My mother and father are great people, you know, but you know, you can't share everything with mom and dad. We're, you know, grown ass men, we got some crazy shit sometimes. So
you're like, you'll never nice understand. Have. They're like, try us.
Yeah, no shit. Meanwhile, they'd be like, dude, I did that like when I was like 5 years younger than you. Yeah. What do you mean?
It took you this long.
It took you this long to figure it out?
Do you ever feel like maybe sometimes you might be too hard on yourself to succeed and be the best that you can be?
Yeah, and I think there can be moments of that, but I don't want to feel like it's too much because I know I want to be capable of doing great things and making history and leaving this place knowing that I left a history behind, you know, in one way or another. And luckily enough, we have this platform that allows us to do that in one space or another. So I want to be as best as I can, but I don't want to pressure myself to the point where I'm not letting things happen to me freely and organically. I don't want to hold on to anything so tightly that it slips away. And that's been another learning thing for me over the years is, you know, I always felt so like tied to or just like handcuffed to the city of LA for like so often. Like I would go home less, I would travel less because I was always worried about, you know, missing something, an audition or something that comes, right? And over the past few years, luckily I was forcing myself to was like, no, I need to just live my life. What's for me is for me. Do good work. Stay on top of your shit, but don't hold on to this so tightly. You know, in the past few years, mainly the last like 2 years, I've been trying to like keep that mindset, but you know, without completely losing track of what we want to do. Just not pressuring myself as much. And just know that if it's for me, it's for me. It will be presented. And as long as I'm doing the things to create opportunities still, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. Don't pressure yourself. You know, that's something that's really hard for most people to do. But you have discipline.
Did you feel that way? You know?
Yeah. I mean, how can you not, you know, when I first started, you know, there was still 10.
'Cause you started when you were so young. It's like you were working for so long. It was probably like, this will never end.
Yeah. You know, you think that way too. Yeah, absolutely. And then you start getting into your 30s and you're like, you see all these younger guys come in underneath you and they're in better shape. And you know, it's just, how can you not be? And you're like, you're still going, I'm going to be a movie star. I'm going to be a movie star. I'm going to make it in movies. And you can't help but like pressure yourself. I feel like that. And like, but pressure gets in the way of success.
Sure, sure. It's hard not to because we care, you know, and it's instilled in us. And we've been like designed and built that way now. So, yeah, I don't think I'll ever not give myself, put some pressure on myself, but I've known it for so long that it doesn't feel as heavy. That's probably the best way I can put it. You know, it doesn't feel so heavy that I can't like do everything else I want to do. But it's always going to be there, you know, because even when you're steady for a long time, whatever it may be, that rug can be pulled out at any time, you know, so there's always that thought and that thing in the back of your head. But you know, it's part of the high, man. We're fucking actors and we're lucky to be consistent, you know, cause sure. it's a tough game and there's so much great talent out there, but we just got to keep doing our thing. And,
yeah that's right. It. Keep striving, live. Man. What?
That's it.
Yeah, it's true. What personality trait are you most proud of?
Jesus, I don't know. Not many. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know, really. Probably just my, like, I can be a good friend. Like, I want to make sure that I show up for my people because I've learned how important it is for me to have those kind of people in my life and to be a good friend and just try to be a good listener. And yeah, probably that, which is being developed still. But
yeah. Nice, brother. You know, I always, you know, I don't like to call them roundup questions because that's what those soap magazines always call them. But there are some things that I always, like my son and I, we'll joke back and forth, and I always ask him and he asks me. He'll say like hypotheticals, like, you know, if you had a superpower, what would it be, right? And and I like that because, you know, because then you gotta start thinking, you know. So I'm going to throw that one at you today. What if you had a superpower, what would it be?
Maybe to go back in time. Time travel.
What would you do?
I'd go back to the 50s and go say what's up to Frank Sinatra, Marilyn Monroe, Kennedys, all that crew.
Nice.
I'd see what's going on with the Rat Pack. Dude. I'd dial back there and just see what life was.
Yeah, that is.
I'm, my mom's an old soul. I feel like I'm an old soul, and it would be nice to venture there.
Yeah.
And see that.
Oh, that's awesome.
What's yours?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because I was friends with Jerry Lewis, like you know, right to the very end for almost like 20 years.
Wow.
He used to call me the kid, and he would tell me all about these stories over and over again, different stories about Frank Sinatra and, you know, early Johnny Carson, obviously Dean Martin because, you know, Dean and Jerry, all those movies. Feel like I sort of lived through that. I mean, I would hang out in his penthouses at hotels and sit with him, watch TV. And he would just ramble off these incredible Hollywood stories, you know, and stuff that nobody knows, like just crazy.
How did that come to be?
Well, yeah, well, that's a good question. It's an interesting story. My friend Mark Rosano, who was the managing producer of Beauty and the Beast on Broadway.
Okay.
He believed in me and he wanted me to get in there. So I auditioned for it and I didn't get it. And I auditioned for it and I didn't get it again. And I auditioned for it a third time.
Wow.
And I finally got the role of Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast. Well, a lot of people were looking at it like, well, he's a TV actor right now and it's stunt casting and, you know, Beauty and the Beast is looking to try to. And yes, those things were true. But what most people didn't realize is they just didn't hire me to do it. They didn't realize that I went in three separate times over the course of a year and auditioned for this
thing. I got you.
And thanks, man. But so he takes me, he goes, I got a surprise. I want you to meet somebody. So he took me to the Waldorf Astoria, went up to a penthouse suite, knock on this door, and next thing you know, Jerry Lewis opens the door. And he didn't tell me this, but I had told him I used to skip school back in the day. He used to have the Dialing for Dollars like on channel 11, whatever the hell it was, and I would skip school because my parents both worked, and if it was a Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis movie on. And so I told him this in secret, and I didn't know that he knew Jerry. And so anyway, next thing you know, he opens up the door and Jerry gives me the best advice ever about stunt casting. Like, he goes, look, you're gonna be working with an entire group of actors and dancers who have worked their asses off their entire lives. They have earned their positions, and here comes this guy, and they're going to have feelings about you stepping into that role.
Oh yeah.
And you need to be prepared, and this is what you need to do, X, Y, Z. So we have a whiskey, and I look down, and he's got these like theatrical, tragedy comedy emblems on his slippers, and these are like always the slippers he's owned. They're handmade. I've seen them in pictures, but I never saw them in person. I was like, wow, I love those. He throws them off and he goes, put them on. Dope. And he made me put them on and he gave them to me. I said, no, I can't take your shoes. And he gave me his slippers, man. And so that's how it started.
Where are those slippers?
I own them still. I have lots of, in fact, if I could turn this around, I have this like massive poster art from it's a Chesterfield cigarette ad from Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis from a movie. It's all framed.
Stop
and
it!
He signed it for me. It's beautiful, man. We've been friends for years. But
that's
the story.
A hell of a piece, man. That's an incredible piece.
Oh man, it's wow. He pointed it out.
Very badass.
So it's an ad for Sailors Beware, and he goes, he's signing it, and he goes, you see this? He goes, my wedding ring is on in this picture, and I'm supposed to be a single. So it's actually like an error. It's like a, it's like a, it's an original ad that's in air. It's he pointed out, I was like, oh, that's true. You know, he's a sailor, single sailor. So I just thought, man, I was like,
wow,
so cool. Wow. Listen, man, that's enough about me. I want to know a little bit more about you. So what are fans looking forward to seeing you? Do you have some things coming up? What are you working on?
You know, re-signing with Days, I just renewed a contract not too long ago, and they've been keeping me busy. You know, there are certain weeks where I'll have a little bit of downtime. Like this one, I'm only working a few episodes, but I'm working Monday and Friday. Other than that, they've kind of had me going, which has been great, but it's hard to do. It's hard to do other things. So, you know, I got to pepper in a few commercials this past year, which was nice.
Good.
Not a whole lot of anything else. So, no, it's Alex Kiriakis 24/7 right now.
Yeah, man.
And, well, that's, you know, because it's the new character, it's nice. It felt like just working on something new, but it's the same, you know, same field, new player. So it was great.
No, it's a blessing, man, when you're able to work that consistently. That's I know it all too well. It's wonderful to be on top of your game and embrace it, man. Have so much fun with it. Ride the wave and
thank you.
Yeah, man. That's great.
That's it, man. Exactly. Ride the wave. Exactly. So that's it for now.
So if you were to take a ride in the Jacob Young time machine, what advice would you give to teenage Rob? Mm-hmm.
Man, it's endless. I feel like I've lived five lives since teenage Rob. So trust the process. Tell them to trust the process. Have faith. And keep doing what you're doing, but maybe dial it back on a few things. maybe dial it back on a few things.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, I figured it out for myself. So I think if there's quality in kind of living through those experiences. I don't want anybody to have to deal with some gnarly shit, but it's something about it at the end. You know, you get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's great. Great advice. My sponsor, Boys Town, their motto is, he ain't heavy, he's my brother, meaning in our lives, we've all, at some point, been carried by somebody. Who's carried you, Rob?
I mean, my mom, for sure. She raised me. I have a great, great, great relationship with my father now. But, you know, when I was young, there was a period of time, it was usually me and my mom and one of my grandmothers, but certainly her, for sure.
Nice, man. Well, dude, it was great catching up with you today. Great seeing you. I'm looking forward to hanging out more in the future. We got to, man.
Absolutely,
after,
man.
After that weekend, I was like, this guy's a bro. I got to hang out.
Oh, dude, yeah. We're one of the same. We're one of the same. We'll run it back maybe someplace other than, where were we? Clearwater.
Yeah, we were in.
We'll take it someplace else next time.
Yeah, we were in Clearwater. We could go better than that. We could do better.
Yeah, we'll step it up. I like Clearwater. It was fun. But,
Clearwater's fun.
We'll switch it up.
Yeah, we got to go someplace, you know, international or something. I don't know.
We'll meet in Vegas.
Vegas is fine. Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, listen, dude, thanks for joining me today. I enjoyed getting to know you a little bit better and look forward to the future.
Hey, likewise, man. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
It's about all the time that we have for this week, but the Boys Town toll-free national hotline, 1-800-448-3000, a 24/7 crisis resource, referral number for kids, their parents. They're there to help anyone having suicidal thoughts, risk of any self-harm, parenting problems, sexual, emotional abuse, stress, anxiety, anger problems, school problems, chemical dependency. I mean, if you're suffering from any of these issues, if you just need somebody to talk to, someone's there for you 24/7. Just call the Boys Town National Hotline, 1-800-448-3000. Don't feel like talking? Text VOICE to 20121 or go to boystown.org. Boys Town, saving children, healing families. Until next time, love each other and love yourselves.